We talk about the Passover, and now Pharaoh finally relent and let the people go. And so we know that the Hebrew left, not with, like being kicked out of a country and left as a refugee, They did not leave as a refugee because they basically raided the whole country. They asked silver and gold from their neighbor, and their neighbor would willingly give them silver and gold. So they basically robbed the country. They left with wealth. They left with wealth. They are not refugee. God took them. So as they leave, God told Moses, there are certain observations, certain things they have to observe, certain commemorations that you have to perform yearly and also at special occasions. And yearly is, of course, the Passover remembrance and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened Bread is a week after the Passover. And then there's also consecration about the firstborn, whether it be animals or children. First son is consecrated to God. And this goes throughout the year because nobody, I mean, we don't have a, what do you call it, a pact and say, okay, we're all going to have our birth on the Passover time. So there is the consecration ceremony going on throughout the years as the children are born and as the animals are born. So this is what God wants the Hebrew to remember. God is in big business of remembering, isn't it? We often so just forget. Especially when God is good to us, God answers our prayer, and we just sort of kind of thank you, God. What's next? Then you move on. You move on. But God, I mean, in this momentous event, He wants the Hebrew to remember. Remember the Exodus. Not remembering the slavery. But the Exodus, especially in the Exodus process, the Passover. So I think it's good for us to always remember what God has done in our lives, what God has done. Even though God did not command you to remember, but you ought to do it as a matter of thankfulness. Thankfulness. And commemorations is something that's interesting. I don't know if your family has any traditions or commemorations or anything like that. Tune in every year around Christmas time, We have our kids come home, the family gets bigger and bigger, and we celebrate. And will you always try to make special t-shirt? We have probably many of these t-shirts. A couple years ago, and then during the pandemic years, we have a t-shirt that shows what we all were doing when we are isolated, quarantined at home. So they have this design in the back of the t-shirt. That's my wife and I, we go walking on the trails, and some people are stay home and work online. So we had these sort of kind of cartoonish thing on the back of the t-shirt to remember what happened. I think that's in a way, that's what God is trying to tell Hebrew. Use these things to remember what I have done. What I have done. This is a remembrance. This is a sign. This is a mark that you do this. So every time when you do this, you remember. So this is what God wants the Hebrew to do. Don't ever forget it. Because you know something? Just thinking about the people that exit Egypt, maybe that generation they will remember. But the generation of that, maybe, still, they may still have fresh memory. But you're talking about generations after generations after generations. Pretty soon, nobody remembers. Or you become a story, becomes a bedtime children's story. God doesn't want to let that happen. God wants every generation to have a grateful memories of what he has done. So let's read chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn, the first offerings of every womb among the Israelite belongs to me, whether man or animal. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord bring you into the land of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he sworn to your forefather to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days, nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your border. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hands. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time year after year. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and give it to you as he promised on oath to you and your forefather, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. See that word redeem. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Said to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offerings of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn son. And it will be like a sign on your hand and symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask you connect us with with your spirit who spoke to Moses and then in turn spoke to your people. We pray your spirit connect us so we can understand and appreciate what you're saying to your people then. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, consecrate to remember, right? Consecrate to remember. And the two things God wants them to remember. First, I feel the consecrations is rooted not in the Passover, even though Passover is the event we're to talk about, but the roots of that is long in coming. The root of the consecration or the Passover is the covenant God made with Abraham. This is the basis of Exodus. Is the covenant that he made with Abraham. Because Moses reminded them, this is what God said to your forefather. This is what he promised. He's going to give you a land filled with milk and honey. It's a good land. God's going to give it to you. But unfortunately, they're not empty land. They're land filled with aggressive people, enemies. And what God is saying is that you're going to expel them and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to be there with you to expel them. Wow. I don't want to make God as being, you know, a tyrant. But that's what happened, you know, in Joshua, you see. But, you know, this land is filled with Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites. He lists them. Hivites, Jebusites. These are pagans in the land. And God says, I'm going to give it to you. And then they're just going to quietly obey me and give the land to you. It's a tall, tall order. But that's the promise of God to the forefather. And God wants Israel to remember, this is what I said before. And, you know, I don't know when Israelites hear this. You know, do they have any doubts? Like we are here saying, hey, you know, God's going to do all this with all these people living there. I think that there's a lot of Israelite Hebrews who have doubts. And you see this play out in the story, continued story with Exodus. And so that's why God kept them in the wilderness for 40 years. Because for them, if they're going to travel directly into the promised land, it's only take them 2 weeks. Walking, 2 weeks. But it takes them 40 years because God wants to teach the Hebrew people to trust him and to obey him. It takes 40 years to learn. It takes 2 weeks to travel. But this is what God wants them to remember. First, you have to remember, I have already done this for you in Egypt. How can you not trust me to do this into this promised land? I mean, basically, that's what God is saying. You remember this, maybe you'll have more trust for me, what I'm going to do in the future. So this is the first thing that God wants the Hebrew to remember. Remember my promise. Remember, the second thing is that remember what I've done to the Egyptians and the Passover. This is in verse 3 and verse 15, right? You see 15. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrificed to the Lord, the first male of offspring. This is why we consecrate, because the stubbornness of Egyptian, and this is what I've done in the Passover. So the commemoration begins with God's promise, but specific act is the Lord wants Israel to remember is the Passover. But remember the killing. I think it served two purposes, right? First of all, I think it served purpose to say, hey, God's mercy is upon you because you did not die. You trust God. You put the blood of the lamb on the doorframe. So God passed you over. So you did not die. That's not because you are Hebrew, not because you are worthy, because you obey. You trust what Moses said. Okay, so that's the first thing they want to commemorate. It means that, is that the Lord had mercy upon us the Hebrew. The second thing, I think, is to generate fear in the Hebrews. If God does this to people who disobey him, who resist his will, do you not think God will do the same thing to the Hebrews? I mean, I think there is a fear factor in there. As they remember this, you know, the God's justice, God's power, God's authority over all, it includes the Hebrews. So the Passover remembers the mercy of God and the warning, the fear of God. This is what will happen. So they have both elements in this commemorations when they do this. So the two events to remember, promise God made with Abraham and the Passover that lead to Exodus. But, you know, with consecration, you gotta have a sign, a act. The consecration has to do with the event to remember. The sparing of Hebrews. So, as we look at what does God want them to do, it's not just you remember a verse or remember scriptures. You just put it in your head, you know, or what in Chinese we call 背书. You just you know, trying to remember. You're reciting Chinese books. It's not that. It's that there is an act that reminds you of what has been done, what was done. So the act is to consecrate your firstborn, to observe the Passover. That's one, right? Every year, even until now, the Jewish people observe Passover, same event. Like I ask you, what does this mean? That's the same event. Every year, they have someone from the Hebrew family as daddy. Tell me, why do we do this? Why do we remember the Passover? And then the father will tell the whole story again to the children, to the next generation. So the first thing is the Passover. But the second act is the offering of the firstborn. Whether this be an animal or a son. And the offering is to the Lord. So you figure, what does offering do? This is offered to the priestly families. The priests, you know, they don't have land. So they don't till the land. They don't have animal or shepherds do, you know, as their stock. The priests, their income, their livelihood comes from the offerings from God's people. And so these offering, the firstborn offering, they take it to the temple and the priests receive them as their livelihood, as their food. Well, they can sell it to have money. So this is for the support of the temple operations. It's a little bit like the pastors. You have offerings, and part of the offering goes to supporting the pastor's family. So that's what the offering does. That's the offering that you offer that to the Lord. Then the Lord give it to the priest. But the redeeming of the firstborn, I mean, it's not like your son, you just offer to the priest, and the priests have all these mouths to feed, you know. No. So the Lord says, redeem them. You can redeem them from me. Then this is a special ceremony called Petyon Habin in the Hebrew. Petyon Habin. That means that you offer your son, firstborn, to the Lord in consecrations. And let me read this to you. Maybe it gets a better idea. This is in number 18, verse 14 to 16. We got to go through this very quickly. 14 to 16. Everything in Israel that is devoted to the Lord is yours. This is speaking to the priest. The first offering of every womb, both man and animal, that is offered to the Lord is yours. This is to the priest. You must redeem every firstborn son and every firstborn male of unclean animal. When they are a month old, 30 days, you must redeem them at the redemption price, set at 5 shekels of silver according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerah. So in other words, is that this is how you take your son, firstborn son, 30 days, and you take it to the temple, and you give the priest 5 shekels of silver. And then you take it home. That's the consecration of the firstborn. That's what the Jewish does. And if you don't do that, and when the son gets to be 13 years old, then he's responsible for his own redemptions. In other words, he would have to pay 5 shekel to the priest. That's called the age of accountability. So we have ceremony. Even now today, it's called, what's that called? What? Yeah, bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah. So you can delay that redemptions, but 30 days is the time when the Lord says that you take it, your son, to the temple to redeem him. So the act and the remembrance tied together. God spared the firstborn of Israelites, the Hebrews, on Passover. So now you, from now on, knows that this first son is alive because God redeemed him. God saved him. God allows him to live. And that 5 shekel is to remember. He belongs to the Lord. He belongs to the Lord. So that's what Israel to remember. And then I look back in the life of Jesus. Jesus has three obedience to the Old Testament sign, right? Three ceremonies that Jesus participated in. The first one is circumcision. He was taken to the temple after 8 days, right? To be circumcised. Not the temple, I'm sorry. He was circumcised. He didn't go to the temple. He was circumcised. And the second is that after the purification of Mary, which means after she gave birth, after 30, 40 days, purification time, then she and the parents took Jesus to the temple to be consecrated. And that is what this is. He's the firstborn son. So he's consecrated to God. He belongs to the Lord. And then the third one is baptism. Jesus participated in this baptism to inaugurate his mission to redeem the human race. So there are three things that Jesus did. Consecration is one of them, as according to what Moses said. So, as we started this communion, redemptions, buying back from the Lord. So Jesus is that price to buy us back. He paid the price to redeem us. We were all sons of God, but we were all under the curse because we are all sinful. We're all under the wrath of God. And Jesus buy us back. So we are no longer to die. Our Passover, you know, there's so much connection to the Passover and our communion. We see in the communion blood of the Lamb, the wrath of God, and the death that pursue us. But pass over us on the account of the blood of Jesus Christ. What different is the Passover for the Hebrew Passover is they remember the past. They remember what God had done for them. Our communion not only remember the past of what Jesus had done on the cross, but also giving thanks to him in the presence for the forgiveness of sin. And third, celebrating the coming future, we will be eating and drinking with Jesus in the Father's kingdom. So this one is a little bit more than the Passover meal. Passover meal just to remember the past. And ours has past, present, and the future all contained in the communion. So this is what Jesus said about the communion. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it all of you. This is my blood of covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin, not just in the past, but in the present and in the future. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So we have things to remember. We have things, that's why we do it every Sunday. We do it every Sunday. Don't ever forget it. And we do this from generations to generations. It's been 2,000 years that we've done this. It will be done until that he came back to take us home. So let's pray and give thanks. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Is that your rescuing us, Lord Jesus, has so many parallels with how the Father rescued the Hebrews. You take us from our slavery to sin, just like the Father takes the Hebrew from Egypt as a slave into a new country, flowed with milk and honey. And you took us and give us freedom. So we no longer a slave to sin. We thank you also, there is forgiveness in the blood. We also thank you that you give us a future. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that whatever that ails us will make us diminish our hope. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us as we look to the bread and the cup, that we remember what you said, that you will come back and take us to be with you forever. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.